Good morning to everyone. I hope you can hear me well. Yep, everyone can hear me well, including Dan. Good on you, Dan. Okay, the last few Sundays with Peter, we've been looking at Revelation. And today we're going to look at a phrase that is very similar to the phrase in Revelation that Peter looked up in Revelations chapter 2 and 3. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, is a common phrase in Revelations chapter 2 and 3. And that's in a corporate sense. Today we look at it from Mark chapter 4 in a more individual sense. I have an old camera that sadly I don't use anymore. It was one of those that used Kodak film. Maybe you remember it. When I'd finished taking the 24 or 36 photos, I took the roll of film carefully from the camera and had the photos developed. I could then see the photos. However, with changes in technology, we now use digital cameras. We don't need film and can see the photo on the camera viewer instantly. In Jesus' day, there were no cameras. However, in the parables, Jesus painted pictures that the people of his time could relate to. The parable of the sower is in reality four pictures plus interpretation, which together teach an important lesson in life. These are no normal pictures. They're pictures of the heart. My old camera took a very good photo. The photos were clear, they had good colour and produced sharp images. However, my camera can't duplicate the pictures that Jesus describes in the parable of the sower. In this parable, Jesus paints word pictures of how God sees our hearts. To do this, Jesus paints four separate pictures showing how people hear the good news of the gospel. Jesus painted his word pictures in a rural setting adjacent to the Sea of Galilee. He was sitting in a boat next to the shore where a large crowd had gathered. On the hills above the crowd, perhaps Jesus could even see a farmer planting seed as he on the prepared ground. And the crowd was probably local people living in the rural villages around Galilee. And so they were very familiar with the four pictures in the parable of the sower. As we've read, the four pictures are all of a farmer. I envisage that he carried a large bag of seed, grain, and from the bag he took handfuls of seed and cast it on the ground. And as he sows, some seed lands on the path. Other seed lands on rocky ground. Still, other seed lands amongst or in thorny ground. And lastly, some seed falls on good ground, producing a great or a bumper harvest. In verse 9 of our reading, Jesus says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Jesus' reason for painting the pictures of the four types of ground is to illustrate the importance of hearing and responding to the gospel in the one right way, and there is only one right way. Jesus' thrust of the parable is to illustrate how important it is that we each hear the gospel with open hearts, and accept its good news. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Acts 16:31 is the message of the gospel. Or as Jesus himself says, "I am the way, the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me." It is truly important how we hear and respond to the gospel. It has eternal consequences. As we consider Jesus' interpretation of the parable, ask yourself honestly, which type of ground best describes my heart? Or how do I hear the gospel? In Jesus' four pictures, the seed is the good news of Jesus. The farmer sows the seed. Sowing the seed may be the word of a Christian friend or a preacher of the gospel faithfully proclaiming the good news of Jesus. It may be the still small voice of the Holy Spirit speaking directly to your heart. God the Holy Spirit sows the seed of the gospel in our hearts in various ways. So let's consider this one thing that was different in all the four pictures of Jesus. The four types of ground where the seed fell. In verses 3 and 4, the first picture is described. Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. In this first picture, Jesus describes a scene where the seed lands not on ground ploughed to receive the seed, but on a path perhaps running next to the field. Being a well-trodden path, the surface is compacted and hard, and so the seed just sits on top of the path, waiting for the birds to come and have a feed. And as you can imagine, the birds follow the sower in a flock, just waiting for the free feed of seed. And so it has no chance of starting to grow as a new plant. Verse 15 of our reading gives Jesus' interpretation. And these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. This first picture is of a man who had no appreciation that sin separates us from God, nor of God's plan of salvation in Jesus. But how had this man arrived at this state? He had opened his heart to all sorts of evil in the world until his heart had become as hard as the footpath. And to this we read verse 15. Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. Satan gives this man no time for reflection on the message of the gospel. Immediately the gospel message is taken away, remembered no more, just as the birds eat the seed landing on the path. Verses 5 and 6 describe the second picture of Jesus. Other seed that fell on the rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. When Robin and I first settled in Canberra, our Monash house had no veggie garden. And so I looked around to see what I could do. Unfortunately, the ground in my backyard was rocky ground. It wasn't that there were lots of stones amongst the soil. Rather, there was only a very thin layer of soil growing patchy grass. And below the soil was the solid bedrock. My background reading indicates that this situation is common in the area surrounding the Sea of Galilee. When seed is cast onto prepared ground of this type, in spring there is still moisture in the soil. But as the soil is only shallow, it warms up early in the season, causing seeds to sprout and to grow quickly. Sadly, however, the growth is short-lived, as the moisture is soon driven from the shallow depth of soil by the heat of summer. And with no reserves of moisture, no deep soil that the roots can penetrate, the plant shrivels and dies before it yields a harvest. At first, this type of ground promised much better than the path by the field, but in the end, its success was no better. It too yielded no harvest. This class of hearers appear to accept the good news of Jesus at once and with great joy. However, this joy springs from overlooking the costs and the hazards of a life with Christ. Charmaine kindly led the children through the parable of the pearl of great price. When the merchant found the parable, he went home and sold all he had. And then he went and gave all he had to buy the pearl. The merchant counted the cost before committing to buy the pearl. This second type of ground with its thin layer of soil where no root can grow, may more appropriately be equated with the foolish builder of Matthew chapter 7, who built his house on sand. The house had no firm foundation, and when the storms of life blew and beat against his house, it fell because it had no proper foundation. This second picture is of a life not properly rooted or grounded in Jesus. Not properly rooted or grounded in Jesus. Jesus' interpretation of the rocky soil from verse 16 and 17 reads as follows. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, and they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then, when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. There is no lasting life and certainly no harvest when seed is planted on rocky soil. And so to the third type of ground. The third picture Jesus paints is of ground that was poorly prepared. And so from verse 7, the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. The depth of soil this time was okay, but the farmer had not prepared the soil properly. The seed that fell on this type of ground fell not amongst thorns that were fully grown. He wouldn't be that silly to throw his grain amongst that sort of thing. But he threw his grain in ground where there were remains of old thorn bushes still present. There might have been seed or roots still present. And so the grain and the thorns grew together. However, the thorns grew more vigorously than the good grain. I'm imagining something like blackberries around here and how quickly they grow. And the thorns shut out the air and the light and take the moisture and the richness of the soil from the roots of the grain. And so rather than flourishing, the good grain dwindles under the shade of the thorn plants, dwarfed and stunted and unable to produce a crop. Here the soil lacked careful preparation, and so the mischief of thorns strangled the good grain, so there was no harvest. Jesus' interpretation of this third picture is in verses 18 and 19. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things enter in and choke the word, and again it proves unfruitful. The third picture is of a class of people having divided loyalties and consumed by the cares of the world or the deceitfulness of riches or the desire for other things. There are first the cares of the world. How may I provide sufficient for the needs of my family? How may I buy that car I really need? How might I live to keep the wolf from the door? How may I be accepted by that cool group at school or the in crowd at work? And then there is the second or flattering side, the bright lights. The bright lights can be very attractive, even enticing to all of us. And if given a place in our lives, can lead us into temptation and then on into evil and away from God. The desire for other things, maybe anything we place ahead of God in our lives. The three reasons mentioned in verses 18 and 19 all have one thing in common. They reflect hearts with divided loyalties. The picture is of a heart not truly given to Jesus, perhaps a heart that hasn't truly counted the cost. The picture represents a class of people that seeks salvation and recognises the value of the gospel, but also seeks worldly success. The desire to live for Jesus exists beside those other cares. Jesus is not Lord of all of this person's life. While God's promises are felt to be good, other things in the world are felt to be equally good. And for a time, it may appear possible to live for Jesus and for other cares also, to have an equal place in our hearts. However, unless we cast all our cares on Jesus, eventually, like the thorns, these cares and worries will begin to slowly strangle the spiritual life we have in Jesus. Friends, Jesus wants to be Lord of all our lives, and we can only have Jesus as Lord of all our lives as we cast all our cares upon him, as we submit fully to his lordship in our lives. Matthew 6 gives valuable counsel. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. In verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. The thorns of this parable are a warning and an encouragement for us all never to entertain anything that may create a rival to God in our hearts. Sadly, again, there is no harvest from the thorny ground. Jesus' interpretation of the last picture that he paints is in verse 20. Others, like seed sown in good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, and some 100 times what is sown. The good ground represents that class of people who hear and sincerely accept the gospel, the good news of Jesus. Good soil is the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit prepares hearts to hear and accept the word of the gospel, to accept the seed. And that seed grows until it bears a harvest in the life of the believer. Be clear, it is only the good seed that yields a harvest. Such is also true in the life of a believer, and is the witness of a person's faith. Remember Jesus' words from verse 9. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear. Therefore, all gathered here today, be diligent and seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him whilst he is near. Please consider how you hear and respond to the gospel of Jesus. Don't put off until another day what demands your response today. By way of conclusion, let me say this. The preparation of a heart to hear and accept the gospel is the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will draw all his chosen ones to himself. Even the hardest criminal is not beyond God's reach. John Newton, of Amazing Grace fame, was earlier in his life the captain of a slave trading ship. And yet God drew John Newton to hear and accept the gospel, and he became a preacher of the gospel in his later years. It may be that the person who appears to have the hardest heart may, through the working of the Holy Spirit, turn and repent and believe the gospel. We do not know the state of a person's heart like God does. God can see right through to our hearts. Therefore, brothers and sisters in Christ, pray for your friends, your workmates, your family, and your neighbours who do not know Jesus, that they too may have ears to hear and accept the gospel, that they may repent and believe the good news of Jesus. Amen.